What the fuck? Rob fought in a big way in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Once I hit him, I felt him just, you know, just give out, and I just knew just had to stay on top of him.
Rob fought.
That was vintage Jose Aldo.
Wants to do things on his own terms at this point in his career.
Jose Aldo Jr.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt is still out. He's, I think, in Disney with his family. So, John Gooden, thanks for being here and co-hosting today. It's very appreciated.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys have had me on a couple of times before, so it's the least I could do. This is big shoes to fill. I mean, I'm just warm in the seat, but I'm happy to be here. We've got some great guests coming up, so I couldn't say no.
Yeah, Matt, I've never interviewed Jose Aldo before. Font I've talked to, but we have both of those guys today. I've never talked to Jose before, and he's always been one of my favorite fighters, so I'm happy to finally get a chance to speak to him.
Yeah, I've been on the road a couple of times, and I do some producer work for the UFC. So during fight week, I tend to speak to the guys when they're doing their fight hype bits. So I get to sit sometimes like this far away from them when they're cutting weights, when we're trying to get, you know, angry sound bites from them and stuff like that. And he's an intimidating guy because the language barrier is there as well. But at the same time, you always get different answers from guys like Jose Aldo that have been in a fight game for so long. So interested to see what we can get out of him today.
He's interesting too, because he, and I've mentioned him before, I forget who I was talking to last week, my memory is just going, it might have been this week, about how people are when they walk into the cage, the way fighters carry themselves. You know, there's some that play a real psychological game. And then you get a guy like Aldo who just, he basically just kind of looks down during the stare down, and he doesn't seem to get involved with that at all. And the only time he really did was against Conor, and I thought it cost him because it showed that Conor was in his head a little bit.
Yeah, he's got an aura. I used to do a show called Inside the Octagon, and Dan Hardy and I would talk about certain fighters that had a voodoo. Guys like John Jones, for example, they were beating their opponents before they even got in. And I'm not saying that that's the case here for Rob Font, but candidly, I think that you'd be a fool not to kind of labor on the fact that you're talking about one of the greatest fighters to grace the octagon, maybe the greatest Brazilian that we've had in the UFC as well, an incredible champion. So, and he's still going. You know, he could add to his resume, which is frightening.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Jose is one of those guys where, you know, you think, because I've been watching him for so many years, you know, you look at the age, you expect it to be 58. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's only 35. Like, he's got a couple of really, really good prime years left.
Yeah, and that's just great for us fight fans. This new version of Aldo, like, how is he doing this? Like, he's not giving away the secrets. You know, there's a few out there, you know, Frankie Edgar dropping down again. Like, I don't know how these guys are doing it. And I don't know about you, Jim. Like, I'm into my 40s now as well, and everything's harder. Getting out of bed in the morning's harder. These guys are making career choices where it's going to take ridiculous levels of discipline in a time when they've already earned their credibility. They've reached the highest highs, but there's something within them that just makes them different. I guess that's why we celebrate them in the way that we do.
Yeah, I'm 53. And I literally, when I get out of bed in the morning, the first 10 steps hurt, like until my blood gets flowing. And I've noticed that recently. Like, when I take my first 10 steps, just like, ow, it's really uncomfortable. And then the blood moves. I don't know if that's the sign of a problem or if it's just, that's what happens when you hit 50.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. You should maybe get that checked out. But yeah, I mean, all right, Jose's not 50, but we've seen the likes of Glover Teixeira and what he's been able to do. And even Jan Błachowicz, who held the title before. It's just ridiculous feats of human engineering, if you like, and the way that they're able to carry on in these years. But mentally, it's not just the physical side, is it? Because they've done everything, pretty much, you know, but they still have that ridiculous competitiveness that drives them to the gym every day.
I wonder what changed too, because like at one point guys like Randy Couture were an anomaly, like fighting for as long as he fought and into the age that he fought. And then you see DC do it. And again, Teixeira, and there's other guys who are kind of getting up into that age that are still really looking good. And I don't know what's changed, if it's just that treatments have changed or they heal better after fights now. I don't know exactly what changed, but it seems like guys are going much longer.
Yeah, I think there's a package thing to this. I did a few years ago now, I did a season of triathlon. And because there's a lot of money in triathlon, a bunch of middle-aged folk get involved. It's the kind of, they got a bit of cash and they're throwing it all on a fancy bike and stuff. But it's not just that. It attracts really high-level coaches that have been affiliated with Olympic programs, etc. And because people have money, they're now finding about this science and they're taking care of their bodies in different ways. And respectfully to mixed martial arts, I've been in this game for a long time now, but you're drinking just a bit of water, maybe coconut water at best after a crazy workout, not the electrolytes, not the salts, and these sorts of things. And they're just like small gains. Now we see things like the UFC PI and then, you know, not UFC branded places, but certainly in the US on every corner, I think you've probably got some rehabilitation center to help with that recovery. And it's now a bit more affordable. We know more about it. Cryotherapy, you know, infrared saunas, as well as other stuff in terms of rehabilitating. Add that onto better technical training and now an overall ledger of how best to train for mixed martial arts. And that's why we're seeing fighters get so much success as they get deeper into their 30s.
Are you doing the fight this Saturday?
No, I don't get to travel over. You know, I'm stuck out here in the international space outside of the US when it comes to my UFC contract. So until this world starts to settle down a little bit and the UFC start flying around the world again, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be seeing a microphone.
Oh, okay. So you're basically you're in England, right?
Yes.
Yes. And you've been going to Abu Dhabi?
That's been a lifesaver for me. Just in every which way, you know, sanity, professionally, financially. And they've been great. They've been really, really, really good fun and like really hard work. But it's been incredible to see what the UFC team can achieve when you stack multiple events in a real short space of time.
Right.
And everyone's got to pull for one another when you're over there. And there's a great sense of achievement. And we've had just some blisteringly good fights over the last couple of years. And it's just all worked out. The risks that the team took, Dana and his team.
Yeah.
Good Lord, have they paid off, and dividends as well.
Yeah, I remember first hearing about Fight Island, and I want to say that it was going to open in July of 2020, my memory might be a little off on that. But I remember thinking, I don't know, it's going to be wrapping up by then. And boy, did I not know. I was so wrong how much time was left and how that really, there's more fights now than there were before the pandemic, because they're fighting it seems like every weekend there's something, if it's a fight night or if it's at the Apex or if it's a pay-per-view. So I'm like, as a fan, I'm really, really happy that they found a way to do it.
It's just incredible how the planning of the UFC, and of course they could never foresee this, but the building of the Apex and everything that goes around it, the investment that, again, that Dana and his team must have made, a commitment to build something like that, which is no cheap deal, right. I'm sure, but it must have paid back and some just in the last couple of years alone. So very, very lucky, very shrewd moves. It just goes to show what a well-run business the UFC is to be able to pivot the way that they do.
And they also, it helps, like you don't have to wait around to see, all right, well, you know, number one is supposed to fight number three. What's going to happen? We have to wait 8 months. There's so much business you can take care of as far as getting the right fights lined up by giving guys matchups. Who is Leon Edwards fighting next, by the way? I Leon Edwards cannot, didn't Masvidal just drop out?
I keep saying it. I sound like a broken record because I'm obviously like the UK guy over here. We've got Michael Bisping on your side of the pond, but like, tell me who's been as unlucky, you know, and I've gone to see Leon as well. So I'm the guy that goes to film the features just before his fight. So I went and did that. I went and did the shoot with Leon ahead of Masvidal, sat, as I said before, like, you know, just that within footsie distance of him and was asking him all the difficult, awkward questions, that stuff that Masvidal was bringing up. And he goes through that process with people like me answering all the questions, getting ready for a 5-round fight. And then they're nothing, no end product. Now he's racing buggies in the desert in Dubai, and good luck to him. You know, I don't know what his next move is. He seems to be hashtagging everything strap season 2022, whether he's alluding to the fact he wants to sit out and be the next guy for the title. I really don't know, but he's steadfast. He's not someone that's easily bent away from his ambitions, you know, and I think he tries to be smart for his own career. And then, you know, some people have issue with that.
This is a fight that I've been wanting to see for, I guess, 3 years now. And I think everybody's kind of wanted to see this fight. And it's heartbreaking that it's just not gonna happen. And he wouldn't be crazy if he said he wanted to wait for a shot at the belt either. I mean, I want to say he's won, is it 9 or 10 straight?
Bilal Muhammad. Apart from the Bilal fights, you know, right. Yeah. So it's a really impressive win streak. But now the guys are catching up. That's the thing, because of the inactivity. And he knows this, but Vicente Luque. Sorry, they had an incredible fight back in the day. Leon got his arm raised on that night. But since that time, he's looked great, you know. And I don't know, you just got these other contenders that are shaping up. And they have fight highlights within the last few months, and the fans, we're getting new fans all the time, and without the activity, it's just really frustrating for Leon and his fan base.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And Matt and I, we always talk about Leon Edwards and how, again, because he's a quieter guy, he's a bit unsung as to how good he is. And the Diaz fight was obviously a huge, huge fight. And I'm looking to see if he's has he fought Colby or Gilbert? He has not. He did. I know he lost to Kamaru, but he has not fought Colby or Gilbert. I mean, there's a couple of good fights there if he wants them. I don't know if Colby would take that. But after that loss, what does Colby do now?
Yeah, well, I think with Colby, the way that the scheduling is, Leon will be looking at that going, well, you know, surely I get Kamaru because of the calendar, how that works. It did make sense to me if it wasn't going to happen, then maybe Gilbert slotting in. Of course, at the time, when back in the day, you know, Gilbert was a lightweight fighter, so he wasn't even in the same weight division. We sometimes forget that. But this the welterweight Gilbert went on a significant tear, just the amount of fights he was able to stack up. And that's what I mean. You know, Leon's been taking the solid route, diligently going about his business with those, you know, couple of fights a year, and then he had a bad couple of years. But guys like Gilbert, like fighting every other week, they're just going to steal the headlines.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, look, I mean, obviously Usman can't fight anytime soon. And he said he wanted to take a little time off, right, to spend some time with his family and the holidays.
That would have been music to Leon's ears, right? That would have been the dagger again, like, you know, come on now, please.
Yeah, I would love that. We have Rob Font in the waiting room. Let's bring in Rob. It'll be good to talk to him. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear. And crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful, helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. You want to train like a UFC athlete? I know I do. Climber provides a full body strength plus cardio workout with zero impact right in the comfort of your own home. Burn up to 670 calories, wow, in just 30 minutes with this state-of-the-art connected vertical climbing machine. Step up your workout game as you utilize up to 86% of your muscles in each workout. You'll never have to worry about arm and leg days ever again. Now you can do them both in one day. Join the Climber, now that's CLMBR community, and compete on the leaderboard or just compete with yourself with personal benchmarks and train with some of the best instructors on the planet. Inside hook called Climber, creative, well-made, and fun. And if you stick with it, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that it's very good at getting people into great shape. As the official climbing machine of UFC, Climber is now available to the best MMA promotion in the world. Now UFC athletes working out in the Performance Institute can get Climber ready. Reach for greatness today by using code UFC to save $250 on your Climber order. Visit climber.com to learn more. That's C-L-M-B-R, C-L-M-B-R.com to learn more.
What's going on, boys?
How you doing, man? How are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you feeling?
Great, man. Great. Ready. Here in the hotel, just hanging out right now. About to do some media, but I'm feeling great, bro.
What are you expecting out of Aldo? Are you expecting him to want to box with you, or are you expecting him to go back to the leg kicks, which he seems to have gotten away from a lot? And I could never figure out why he kind of stopped doing that incredible thing that he did for so long.
I think it's going to be a little bit of the classic Aldo, that big right hand, left hook, low kick, that classic Aldo mixed in with some wrestling.
You expect him to try to wrestle you. Do you think it's because he saw the Moraes fight? And he said, maybe I can have success if I shoot early, thinking you're not going to expect it.
Yeah, I do. I do. Especially I got taken down a couple of times in the Cody fight. I do think, not just him, I think it's anybody is kind of most likely game plan is to kind of like, get me there just a little bit. And if they're not trying to keep it there, just to kind of mix it up and get me there just a little bit. But I do believe, not necessarily him, but I think if I hurt anybody or people are going to start shooting. And, I think once I get my range and start frustrating him, I think he's going to end up shooting.
Bro, how's it going? It's been a while, man. How's things?
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing good. What's with you and all those Brazilians? You can't, like... It's like you versus Brazil again. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. It's like I picked a fight with Brazil or something. But they keep sending them.
Yeah, they have indeed. Well, this is a potentially big catch, right? They don't get much bigger than Jose Aldo. And I know you're a guy that's dived into the archives over the years. You've enjoyed watching not just MMA and old school fights, but a whole bunch of disciplines. So. With that, I'm always interested to know how you would feel about going up against someone like Jose Aldo that's made such an indelible mark on our sport.
Yeah, this is huge. I started off getting into MMA watching the WEC, and he was the king back then as well. And so I've been watching him and looking up to him for a while now. And then I just never really thought it would go down, especially him fighting at 45, and I was at 35 in the UFC. So it was kind of like never really on my radar until he made that drop. And even then, I was still kind of like, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to make the weight, because I remember a time when he was struggling to make 45. So I was like, man, I'm not sure he can make the weight. But once he done it twice, I was like, all right, this is a potential matchup. So I kind of stopped, watching all his stuff and just, focused on, all right, this is how. Instead of watching, as kind of a fan, instead of like, how do we break this down and pick this guy apart? And, and it's just kind of blessed and grateful for having this opportunity to fight a guy like this. It's kind of like, they always ask you, who would you want to fight? Guys say Bruce Lee, Ali, and all those type of guys. And it's kind of like, you could throw Aldo in there, it's kind of like, who would you, and I get that opportunity to actually do that. And, I'm just grateful for this opportunity. This guy has a huge following. He has a lot of experience. People are saying that he's old and he's washed up. And I'm like, you guys are crazy, man. He's only 35 years old. He's only a year older than me, so it's not like he's old. He's it seems like he's old because he's been in the game for so long, and he maybe has a lot more, obviously, wear and tear on him than I do. But I'm expecting a young, hungry Jose Aldo coming out, throwing big right hands, left hooks, and chopping that low kick. And you know, that's the guy I'm preparing for. And I'm just excited. Again, I'm blessed and grateful to have this opportunity. And I plan on going out there and taking full advantage of it.
It's funny, Rob, too. John, I was just talking about that before you came on, about how we feel like you think he's older because he's been around for so long, and he's been, you know, at the top for so long, and he's been talked about in championship contention for so long, but he really is not that old. He really, 35 years old, there's plenty of good fight time left.
100%. So, you know, and I keep that in the back of my mind. I'm like, you guys are crazy. They're saying he's slower. I'm like, I don't know, man. He looked pretty quick in that Munoz fight, you know. And you know, so I'm like, I don't know what you guys are saying. Like, I know you guys are trying to be motivating and positive and all that shit, but like, I don't believe that. So I'm expecting a quick, sharp, experienced guy that has power in both hands and a serious leg kick. So this is a tough fight. Obviously, I want to get in there and get out as soon as possible, but I'm also prepared to go 5 rounds. You know, he is durable as well. You know, he went, you know, he was going at it for a few with Peter Yan, you know, and he, I believe that went to the 4th round. The Marlon Moraes fight went all 3. And then the Cheeto and Munoz fight went all 3. So it's not like he's getting in there and getting destroyed. And he's getting finished by guys like Max Holloway, you know. So it's kind of like, he's durable. He's experienced. He's been there. He's done that. So this is a hard fight.
I think Piotr is the 5th round. Actually, I could be wrong. I think so.
Yeah. So even again, he made it all the way to the 5th round. I believe he kind of got hurt to the body in the early round. So again, this guy, he's been there. He's done that. He finds ways to win. And you know, I just can't let this opportunity slip through the cracks.
I know that you guys. Sit down and do your homework, and I'm interested, it's a pretty specific question, Rob, but you know me, I like my geeky questions. I'm just looking at the body of work that Jose Aldo's done. How far back do you go, and what versions are you looking at? Because obviously you have 2 weight classes. Do you look at Jose Aldo through a different lens at 145 to what you do 135? Where's that cutoff?
I think for me it was more of the Max fight, the Volkanovski fight, and then obviously all his fights for at 35. I paid attention to those the most because there's so many, you know, you get overwhelmed and lost in them. But for, I think it was the Volk fight and definitely the Max Holloway fights. I think kind of got a similar style to Max with the length and the amount of straight punches I throw. And then the Volkanovski fight was more like kind of the movement, the inside touches and pushing him against the fence. And then obviously watching all of his fights at 35, which, you know, not much has changed, but there is a little difference between how he fought at 45 and in 35.
And you wonder too, because you alluded to the losses. He had 3 straight losses recently. And you wonder how hard is that? I'm amazed when somebody can come back from 3 straight losses, especially when it's a little bit later in the game, because that's got to be a confidence shaker where you have to start thinking, like, can I still do this on this level when you're losing to the top guys? How does that affect you? And for him to come back and look as amazing as he's looked in his last 2 fights is really impressive.
Yeah, no, again, like I said, I think that's, you know, I think it comes with fighting the best in the world. And again, I think it's, you know, three straight losses, but against the best guys in the world, it's not, you know, it's like you can't overlook that. And then again, you know, I think his experience and being a veteran and you know, obviously making a smart decision, I guess, to drop to 35 and doing it safely. Kind of gives him like a new, like reinvents him, I guess you would say. And then he goes out there and I believe it's what, 2-2 in 35 of it. So he's 2-2. So he put 2 together and he's against the top guys. You know, you saw what Cheeto did against Frankie not too long ago. And then Munoz again, he's always in a tough fight. But I think I'm in for a classic Aldo fight.
And you're false positive. That's, you know, you don't necessarily see them as definitive as yours was. Can you talk about how that felt and exactly what that was for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was the highs and the lows of the sport. I went from going to my first main event, winning it, and then a couple of weeks later getting flagged for a substance I can't even pronounce the damn fucking word, but Corsair Fenison, you know, I'm like, all right, what the hell is that? And then I throw all the research, and we basically, we wrote down and sent in a 30-page document of what we took the week prior to the fight week, then everything we took on fight week. And it came down to basically it was the lotions, the hairspray and the sunscreen I was using. And, it was unfortunate. I'm like, oh, come on, this can't be what so I'm dealing with. I got, cause they were talking like, if we don't figure out what it is, we're looking at a year to 6 months. I'm like, oh, come on, this can't be true. Like my whole career has been more about me not being active, and I finally get on the winning streak and I got to wait another whatever because of, some type of chemical. And, Donna and Jeff, they were fighting for me. They were behind me the whole time. And then we finally figured out what it was. Basically they just kind of like, they just raised the level of how they test for that chemical.
Doesn't it feel like when you know you haven't done something and you're like, but I really didn't, like, and people are like, yeah, bullshit. Like even when you're innocent, it's probably very frustrating to try to get people to listen to that.
Yeah. It definitely is. But I honestly didn't get any people coming at me saying, there's no way. Even Cody Garbrandt, like they were like, it was nothing, there's nothing kind of like hinting that I was cheating. If anything, it was more of like support for me and just a bunch of messages telling me that I should sue WADA and the USADA and the UFC for like even going through this. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But, it was great support coming my way.
Who'd have thought you'd have nearly paid the ultimate price for a wonderful skincare routine?
I'm coming from New England and coming to Vegas, and I'm like, I'm dry. My lips are all cracked up. My skin is all dry. I'm like, come on, I'm putting as much lotion as possible. And it's funny because the two, I could vividly remember, like, before leaving to the arena at the hotel, just getting all the lotion all over me when I got out the shower and then went straight to the hotel. I mean, to the Apex. I'm like, I had a lot of lotion on me. So it was pretty obvious that it was definitely the lotion I was using.
And how do you get USADA to believe that? Like, when you find out what it is, how do you go, no, it really is this combination of things and not me take anything?
It was a combination of my manager and Coach Tyson and my girlfriend Catherine, just kind of putting together a great documentation of everything we put together. And then Donna and Jeff kind of like using what they knew and they're using all their resources to kind of like try this, look for that. And then they finally came up with the certain chemicals. So it was more of like, we as a team went out there and figured out this. It wasn't necessarily, I had to prove it myself.
When you're dealing with like chemicals, like especially in a lotion or a skincare or hair care, is everything listed on the bottle, or do you have to like go a level deeper to find out every single thing that's in it?
Yep, it was listed on the bottle. They're like, look for this, look for this, look for this, look for that. And then it was like, and then like, I remember my girlfriend like, yes, I found it. It is like, bam. And then she was like, it was in everything. It was in the lotion, the hairspray, the gel, it was everything, the shampoo. It was everywhere. And it was just, all right, cool. So once we got that, we sent them those products. They went out there and bought the products themselves. And then they just started running all the tests. They even put the lotion on their cells. They took, not Jeff and Donna, but the chem, the lab. They had people go in there, put lotion or buy the lotion, put it on them, and take a urine sample, retest. So it was pretty cool. We actually helped out a figure skater that was dealing with the same exact situation that she was going through. She was actually suspended. And then till my case came up, and they're like, all right. And they overturned her. Her case with the same thing. And it was kind of like, so that was pretty cool to help out a fellow athlete. But it was full support from all the labs, from Donna, from Jeff, and obviously my team, was kind of like, not necessarily, I won't say easy, but it was a pretty easy process once we did the work.
And how far into that do you stop looking at supplements or food? At what point do you go, I should look at the lotion, the toothpaste? Like how far into it do you start going, fuck, this is not, we're not finding this answer?
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was probably like in the second week, I'm like, oh, man, I don't even know what's going on. Like, we're throwing a bunch of stuff out. Because I was drinking a lot of beets, or eating and drinking a lot of beet juice. That week, we're thinking it's the it was in the beats, it was this. We're looking at everything.
Just one sec, Rob. But when you started on the beat juice, like how frightening and terrifying is it when you start peeing when you just start introducing beets into your diet?
Yeah, it was. I'm like, is everything okay? Like, what's going on? And it's horrible too. Like we're looking at the carrots. I'm looking at kale. I'm trying to find everything. Every supplement. We was even looking at like what could potentially the cleaning products that the hotel used. Pesticides that maybe that maybe that got sprayed onto the beets or we're looking at everything. I'm like, because it was suck because we was taking a bunch of organic stuff, so we're thinking like maybe hopefully, and it was just every possible thing you could think of we was looking at, and ended up being obviously the lotions and everything, but we looked up and down through everything you could potentially think of.
So after that, now you're basically getting a little sprayer, putting it in a lemon, then a little peppermint oil to brush your teeth, full natural. It's crazy what's in these products, though, right? Mad stuff in there.
So I'm trying to obviously if it's a paragraph on the bottle, I'm trying not to even use it or even look at it. Paying attention to obviously what I take as far as supplements. Obviously the lotions, the shampoos, the toothpaste. Paying attention to that. I think we have a kind of a good idea of what I can and can't take, and just kind of keeping it boring to a certain amount of like lotions, a certain amount of toothpaste, hairsprays, even the Listerine. I'm looking at, I'm like, what kind of mouthwash am I using? I don't take anything anymore from anybody as far as like if I go to a hotel, I'm not using the lotions, I'm not using the toothpaste. I bring everything with me. I'm packaging everything. I'm reading everything. So it's tough, and it's like all of, because again, like I'm never trying to go through this again. Like I was like, I'm about to do a year to 6 months for some fucking lotion, And I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, it was for a chemical that I didn't even know I was taking, and it ended up being lotion. But yeah, it was so scary. It was a scary moment. It was scary for a second there.
And it shows you how incredibly hard to fool those tests it is. If it's picking up a lotion in a urine sample, and you wonder, like you said, there was a figure skater, have any other fighters had problems with this in the past and actually served a full suspension not having thought to look at their lotion or hair care products?
So again, if you pay attention to everything, lotion, if my girlfriend puts some stuff, I'm like, I kiss her right now just because I'm like, I'm not trying to like go through this again. Like, so yeah, if I was young fighters,
it's affecting everything.
You put too much stuff on your face, I can't do it because it's it was scary for a second. So pay attention to everything, man.
I'm kind of guessing. Guessing that this gave you like a very much an unwanted hangover, so that you couldn't enjoy that wonderful main event victory that you had as well, bro. Because I was looking at the stats, and a stat that I love that the UFC put out is strike differential, which means being able to dish it out but not taking anything in return. And I think you had like the third best in bantamweight history from that fight, which is an incredible stat with the sorts of characters we've had in the bantamweight division over the years. So I just feel sorry for you. It sounds like you weren't even able to kind of revel in your victory and had to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was tough, especially because like when they first started look at any type of like brain drive or brain like stuff that helps you focus, and I'm like, all right, look for stuff like that. And like it was funny because like in the fight, they're like, you can hear Tyson like, man, I'm loving what you're doing, you keep staying focused, you look so focused right now. So I'm thinking like, man, they're gonna use this against me, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like they're gonna go and pull this up, and like I was lasered in, and it was like, let's try to obviously hit this guy as many times as possible and not get hit. And obviously that's the game plan for everything, but for that fight it was just on fire that night. And it was just, then it could have all been tarnished by just the wrong test and or the wrong product. And it was unfortunate.
Well, Rob, good luck on Saturday night, December the 4th. Obviously, the main event is you and Jose Aldo, UFC Fight Night, Fon versus Aldo. It's at the Apex in Vegas, and I can't wait to see this fight. And you sound great, man. I'm happy everything worked out after that last one, and we'll Look forward to talking to you again.
Man, thanks again for having me on, guys.
Am I listening or what?
We hear you, Matt, but I can't see you.
Oh, that's so depressing.
I know.
And we need a visual. Yeah. Definitely need a visual.
It would be great to have a visual. I see you guys. You look great.
Thank you.
Do you hear the roller coasters?
Yeah, I do. It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, you sound like there's a tremendous amount of fun.
Well, listen, man, I'm not going to keep you guys long. You can't even hear me.
We hear you. We just can't see you.
You hear me, but you can't see me, so I don't know what to do about that. Oh, here we go.
Ah, there he is.
Hey, buddy.
Do you see me?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I don't see you fuckers.
Well, you're not missing much.
Hey, speak for yourself. I did my hair. I got a nice top on and everything.
Hey, man. I'm at Universal.
Is that next to Disney? Is that where that is in Florida?
Yo, Disney blows, bro. Let me tell you something. The fucking lines, we were on a line for almost 2 hours. You come to Universal, I mean, you get one of those express passes, no lines. Boom, you're getting right to the front of it. But listen, I miss you, first of all.
I miss you too. By the way, how long are you in Florida for? I'm going down to Florida Friday for a Saturday festival.
Yeah, I'm out of here Sunday. Where are you going to be in Florida?
Boca.
I don't even know where that is. But listen, I also have a beef. I have a beef, and I'm going to talk about this on Monday, on the show, for Tuesday's show. Kevin Smith, who I'm a big fan of.
Love him, yeah.
Now, he made a career in Clerks, Mallrats. John, are you with me on this?
I'm with you.
I love these movies.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward to lately, all right? I love Jay and Silent Bob. The sequel, dog shit. Oh, just a woke mess. Now, besides that, he did something. He did a thing where on Netflix, where he did Masters of the Universe Revelation. Now, that's I grew up on He-Man, Johnny. I mean, listen, man. Listen, I know you might be saying, Matt, you're an adult and you got a beef with a kid's cartoon. One, it's not a kid's cartoon. Very adult, a lot of sexual innuendos in this show that he did. You know, Evil Lynn, she had to get the power thing from Skeletor. She's like, hey, let's do our second favorite pastime. And she gets them to put down the power so they could screw. Weird shit. But my point is this. It's a fucking Peeler show. It's not even about He-Man. It's shit. It's fucking shit. And this is my problem with it. This guy, Kevin Smith, he had live shows. Like you sell out, whatever he sell out.
Theaters, yep.
But what he'd do was, he would bitch about all pop culture things like George Lucas having Greedo shooting first. He'd be making fun of that.
He's
all
right.
All the stuff that us nerds, he was one of us.
Yep.
And he would talk about Tim Burton not getting Batman and how he actually Batman and Tim Burton and him had a, Tim Burton's like, well, people know I don't even, watch Batman. And Kevin Smith's like, well, that's my point. You're shitting on my childhood type of thing. He became what he hated. Do you understand? It is shit.
Well, Matt, I haven't seen it. I know people complained, but I was very happy with what he did because it annoyed.
You did not watch it.
No, but I was just so happy when I heard that he annoyed all the He-Man fans. I couldn't have been happier.
But don't you? You're an evil little bird, Jimmy. You got a dark little heart. Listen to me. He became what he hated. He used to make fun of all these Hollywood people who didn't get it. You don't understand? He was a pop culture fucking, like, he got it, man. All his movies, Mallrats, he'd have the little comic book lines in there that only us geeks would get. And now, this fucking took away He-Man's manhood, just destroyed him, made it the Teela show. Her and a girlfriend. I have nothing against anybody.
Right.
But my point is this. Don't fuck with the law. Get your act together. Kevin Smith, what happened to you? Shame.
Well, I thought he went in the right direction with that. And I'm not just saying that because he's put me in two films and he's a really good friend. I'm happy he went into that. And by the way, though, let's do a little test, Matt. What's your favorite Ghostbusters?
What, Ghostbusters?
Yeah, what's your favorite version?
They did the new one. I seen the new one. It wasn't bad.
Okay, because I you probably like the same one I do. And John, the Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones version. That's my favorite version of Ghostbusters.
You're John. John, I don't know if you know about Jimmy, but he can be a bit of a bully. and he likes to mess with my emotions. You know what I mean?
There's Hold on. You're not emotional, Matt. There's no way you're an emotional guy.
Johnny, I'm even more emotional. You got nice facial hair. Can I see Jimmy again really quick?
Jimmy. Oh, wait, what?
Jimmy, what is going on? What the fuck? Is this for a movie role?
Well, no, it's one of two things is either happening. I'm either having a complete meltdown at age 53.
Yes.
Or I'm taping another character podcast I do, and he always has awful facial hair. So for like a week, I have to look really horrible.
Okay.
Or both. It could be a combination.
You look good. Jimmy, you can pull that off. But really quick, this is what I want to say to the geeks out there that they're looking for something. They're on Netflix. This is what you do. I'm going to save you. Get past that whole Masters of the Universe debacle and check out Super Crooks. I don't even like anime, but I like this shit. It's from Mark Millard, and he did Kick-Ass. He did Jupiter's Legacy, that was a live-action superhero thing that didn't go over too well, but I kind of enjoyed it. But it's that same kind of universe. Jimmy, just bear with me. I'm still dangerous. But listen to me. This is a good anime cartoon movie. A lot of violence, sex, the whole nine. Very cool, edgy. I dig it. And I'm not even into anime. Watch that. Watch Super Crooks over Kevin Smith's fucking disgusting take. What about Fisto? He totally fucked Fisto. He got all of a sudden he's killing guys. I don't know what the fuck's the matter with him. I'm all for female empowerment. I got three daughters. I love that scene in Marvel when all the women stand up. I'm for it. But what the fuck? Do a Teela movie, asshole. Why are you fucking with He-Man? And where the fuck is Ram-Man when we need him? And not for nothing. Sorry, guys. Not for anything. This character, they come in. Oh, he's going to have a time in the fucking in the sun. This is going to be his moment. And I just kills him off. He turns a fucking zombie. I'm not going to say anymore.
I like the woke He-Man. I thought Skeletor should have been a blogger who is easily offended by people's language and comedies. I'm happy with the direction. I'm a big fan of the direction.
Kevin Smith from 20 years ago. Kevin Smith from 20 years ago will look at this new woke Kevin Smith be like, ugh. Anyway, guys, right. I love you guys. How's Rob Font doing? Good.
He's good, man. He sounded really good. And we're talking to Jose in a little while, too. I've never interviewed him, so I'm kind of happy we get a chance to talk to Aldo, who I've only met once briefly, and I've been such a fan of for so long. But Font sounded great.
Hey, man, I'm a big fan of Aldo.
Yeah.
I didn't love his movie of his life. But, hey, man, I didn't really make it through it. But the thing is this. You know, hopefully a Rob Font movie of his life, it's better than – don't get whoever directed the fucking other guy's movie. But listen, I'm here to spread positivity. Guys.
Yes.
I miss you guys. Johnny, nice to talk to you, man.
Yeah. Listen, is there anything that you want us to ask Jose Aldo?
Yes.
For? I'm warming up.
I thought you talked to Jose Aldo.
No, already. No, no. He's coming up. He's coming up shortly.
Don't bring up that I was shitting on his movie.
No.
The guy had a movie of his life. That's a major thing. I think that lately he's been looking phenomenal. And, I think there's going to be an amazing fight with him and Rob Font. I have nothing to ask.
Okay.
I'll leave that to you guys, do all the heavy lifting.
Is it safe to allow you back into the theme park now after this? You sound like you're a little, you know, affected by by this whole experience, this viewing experience. Are we good?
No, man, I'm good. I just got nauseous, man. I went on the fucking crazy roller coaster with my firstborn. And, you know, she wants to do it. My wife didn't want to do it. I took one for the team, and now I need some Tums. But besides that, man, I'm having a blast, and I'm going to be back next week for everybody that listens. And that's it, man.
Wonderful.
Matt, have a safe trip and enjoy yourself. And I miss you, buddy. I'll see you in a few days.
Take care, Jimmy. Miss you, too. Bye, John.
All right, pal.
Bye,
nice everybody.
Enjoy yourself, Matt.
Later, guys.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein-packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
Jose, good to see you. What is happening with Flamengo?
Pô, perdemos a final. Foi uma semana triste para nós.
We lost in the finals, and it was a very sad week for us.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, you like Chelsea, and Chelsea are doing very well right now. So at least you have Chelsea to support.
Sim, sim. O Chelsea deve estar jogando até agora, mas graças a Deus a gente tem uma alegria do outro lado.
Yeah, you have to have like some happiness in the other side, right?
How do you take sports losses? Like, do you handle them pretty well when your team loses, or is it something that eats at you for 3 weeks?
No, I entendo.
I completely understand, right? Like, I'm an athlete too, so I take that perfectly. I just suffer for that day. That's it.
Jose, do you still go to the games?
Sempre. Yes.
And how is that? Because I imagine sports fans would know how you are. So do you have a special place, or are you in the stands with your scarf and a flag?
Não, fico geralmente.
Yeah, usually on the stands. They already know that I'm there, like, to support Flamengo. And so they are there with me. We are there with the same goal and cheering for Flamengo. So I think that it's okay. It was difficult when I went to these finals where it was in a different country. So not everyone knew that I would be there. So it was kind of crazy, like all the fans reaching out and everything on the stands, but it's fun.
Is the response positive? Because I know those fans can get pretty aggressive, but even opposing fans treat you well?
Yeah, it's always good. Like, they usually stop me, take pictures with me. They respect me a lot.
And did you play when you were younger? And if you did, were you a good player?
Mas era bom?
Muito bom até hoje.
He's saying that he not only played, his dream was to be a soccer player. And I asked him, like, were you good? And he was like, I'm good to this day. Like, he's very good, like, playing soccer.
I'd like for the UFC to organize a USA versus the rest of the world soccer match. And I would love for Jose to be on that rest of the world team. I would like to be there as well.
Oh, he has his own team, actually. He already is, like, he has his team.
Oh, well, can I come on the team then? I have a good left foot.
Você falou que era o time do...
Era eu, Chad, Fabe.
Oh, but they're all American.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, he's saying that his team would be Faber, Chad Mendes, and Aldo, and who else? He wants to be in your team, he said.
Yes.
Thank you. Players. Thank you. We got there, Jim. We got there. I guess we should talk business, Jim. So I'll let you kick off with that.
Well, I wanted to ask, too, one more question about this, because you said you wanted to do that. It was your dream. When did you realize that you wouldn't do that professionally and that you would fight? What was it that made that decision?
Where the place I came from, like my hometown, is not known. It doesn't have like the statistics of producing soccer players. It's a place of jiu-jitsu athletes. So when I had the opportunity of competing in jiu-jitsu, that's when I decided, okay, this is where I'm going, because of the opportunity. I didn't have the opportunity as a soccer player from like where I came from.
And you've looked so good in your last couple of fights. And we spoke before about, there was a period where you had lost a couple in a row. Did it do anything to your confidence? Was there any type of a thought process you went into that shook you at all, confidence-wise? And what turned it around for you?
So after the losses, your mind gets so busy and so cloudy. I thought about different things, but I knew that I wanted to continue performing like in this high level. And I spoke to my manager, my head coach, Dede, and we knew that we had to bring some things new to the table, and that I needed to prepare better for these guys as I was getting older. And that's what we did. I included boxing, and here I am.
Can I ask, is there one or two things, Jose, that you can recommend to older gentlemen like myself and Jim, because you have taken a more difficult path by going to bantamweight and you've been fighting for so long. We want to know what kind of secrets we can use so we can be at the highest level.
Geralmente, né? Todo mundo...
I think that it's all about self-knowledge, right? Like when you get to know your body and what you have to do. Like my manager, head coach, he's always told me that I was going to be better in bantamweight. He always believed that I could do it in bantamweight. So it was actually something natural. I decided to follow his instructions and it happened.
And have you noticed in the 17 years that you've been fighting, I loved watching you beat people's legs so badly for so many years. And have you noticed that so many other fighters have kind of taken a page out of that book? And how has it changed in the years that you've been fighting?
No, acho que...
Yeah, like the thing is, I've been performing like that in like all my kicks. Everybody, I was a target for such a long time, right? Like I was the champion for such a long time. And people start studying and trying to do that and or trying to neutralize my game. And what I did was just to move forward and try new things. So in that way, I would be better and I wouldn't be predictable.
You mentioned earlier about spending more time boxing. And I read an article about the Brazilian Navy boxing team, I think, that you had joined with. You said about how positively that has influenced you both from a motivation and probably technical point of view. But I'd like to know more about why it's been so significant.
Sim, porque,
It's so important because I'm always learning new things with them. But not only that, they're so welcoming and they're so warm. Like when I go there to train and how supportive they are of me being here today and fighting like in this high level still. They're a great part of this.
And what are you expecting out of Rob Font? I mean, he's also looked really, really good lately. And are you expecting him to want to stand with you or are you expecting him to want to take you down? What are you expecting him to want to do?
Yeah, I always respect my opponents and I respect him and his qualities, but I don't think that he can get away. Like he cannot, he's going to go to his roots and to the way he wants to win this fight with in his stance. So I think that's how he's going to take the fight.
Jose, can you remember being in Rob Font's position where it's like your first main event, second main event, and you're fighting someone with a higher profile? Can you imagine the kind of things he's having to go through whilst facing you?
Sim, sim.
I think that the eyeballs are turned to us right now. Like he's facing someone who's in this business for a long time, myself. So I know exactly how he feels. I think that since the moment that they scheduled this fight, that they told him, okay, you were fighting Jose Aldo, like he's been thinking, he cannot stop thinking about this.
Sorry, Jim, I was just going to ask because it's been a while since Jose has fought in Brazil. And I've been there and it's a spectacle. The fans go crazy. But I want to know whether there's any pros for Jose fighting outside of Brazil. Because I imagine for Rob, if he was in Brazil fighting you, it's a daunting prospect. But maybe there's a lot of pressure for you to prepare and perform when you're at home.
Yeah, like if you think about my career, I was made here, right? Like everything that happened where I had so many great results. I'm really proud of this country, of the United States. Of course, when you fight in Brazil, we have all the fans, but I consider myself at home here too.
And John is right. This is you're a very high profile fighter, a legend. And so in your career, who was the first legendary fighter that you had to step into the cage against and how did you handle it mentally?
Yeah, like that experience, I would definitely name Uriah Faber. He was the champion at WEC at the time, and I was already dreaming about fighting him and getting that title. So, yeah, I experienced that feeling with him.
And what was that feeling like compared to other fighters you had fought?
I was so young. I think that was like my eighth fight. And he was, although he was still WEC, he was famous at the time. So I remember experiencing this, like being excited about fighting him.
Well, I'm looking forward to this main event very much. Aldo, Rob Font, what a great fight this is. And Johnny, was there anything you wanted to ask before we let Jose go?
Well, there's, yeah, one thing actually. I've seen Jose wearing a T-shirt with NFT on it, which is the new space, which I'm still trying to understand myself. But I thought I'd ask Jose, like, what is the NFT project that he has? Because I'm excited to learn more about this new area.
So yeah, I'm going to talk, like I'm teasing that right now. Like I'm going to talk about it like after the fight, after that win, I'm going to launch that.
Just the last one, Jim. I got a little funny story for Jose. So I was watching your film, Jose, a little while ago. And congratulations, by the way. Wonderful to have a film made about your life. I was in my kitchen with my young daughter. She was around. And then 3 minutes in, there's a naked lady on my screen and my daughter's here watching as well. I'm trying to close the screen so she couldn't see. I didn't realize it was going to have everything that us men like to watch in films. But a little funny one from me. But again, congratulations on having that.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much, buddy. Thank you.
And John just convinced me to now watch that movie. So thank you for telling me that. Jose, thank you very much. Good luck on Saturday night against Rob Font. You're a legend, and it's always amazing to watch you. And it's just so great to finally get to meet you and talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you.
I'm fascinated by people that can speak two languages like that. Like I just, my mind doesn't grasp other languages. Like I've never been able to do it. And I'm always amazed by, do you speak anything other than English?
I mean, I studied French we have called A-levels. So just before college. So I did that, a little bit of German, a little bit of French, but I can get by when I go to France, but not like that. Like yeah. I have to be really slow. I'm actually going to go and see Cyril Gane in a couple of weeks. And I speak like, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I wish I knew more. But yes, I'm afraid I share that with you as well.
My mind just doesn't grasp it. And anyway, before we go, it's funny you mentioned Gane. What do you think him and Ngannou? I know you know, it's maybe hard to make a pick, but what do you think of that matchup?
I mean, it's a great matchup. There's such a wonderful story attached to this in that both guys have gone through the doors of the same gym. The same coach, Fernand Lopez, got Francis to a heavyweight title shot within like 3 years of him doing the sport, Jim. And Ngannou doing the sport was a few years, got all the way through up to the very top. Okay, it didn't happen at that point, needed to reconfigure some stuff. But he's got a very complex story from, as well documented, from coming over from Cameroon all the way to Europe. But that's just sort of part of it. Speaking with Ngannou, he talks about like how he was so very alone. And so when he's had this fast rise, he never had a great circle of friends, a big support system to help him even get through the normal interactions that we would have as humans that are, you know, going through stuff. He was homeless a few years before. So it all came very fast for him. But now it's wonderful to see what he's gone on to accomplish since. And he seems a lot happier. But on the other side, Fernanda's now crafted this other kickboxer type in Cyril Gane. Very different personality type. Really fun guy to be around. And they're different styles. You know, you have a very powerful guy against a light-footed guy with very technical ability who seems to be very disciplined. And I think that's going to be key because there could be some emotions flying around. It's developing already, so we'll see how that one plays out. But really exciting. And it's great to see people from international spots in the world, right? Competing for one of the most coveted titles in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, and a lot of people are taking Cyril Gane on this fight. I'm taking Francis. You know, watching him against Stipe in that second fight, when you knew Stipe was going to have a long night, when he sprawled, when Francis sprawled backwards, and you're like, oh, he really... You know, like a lot of big guys don't necessarily work on the things because, again, they can knock you out with one punch. And when he sprawled like that and Stipe's going down a weight, it didn't help keep Ngannou away from him. You're like, ooh, he's definitely improving every fight.
Yeah, and what confused me about that was analyzing the Rosenstreich fights to then the Stipe fight, the second Stipe fight. Because I got to say, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the way that Francis won that Rosenstreich fight looked horrible. Like his chin was in the air. It was it almost looked a bit reckless.
Like a blitzkrieg almost.
It was. But then you look, it was a few months apart. The Stipe fight was perfect. Like technically perfect. You can see the strategy was executed exactly how they wanted it as well. And I spoke with Walt Harris just before that fight, and he'd been working out with Francis down at the gym, and he was telling me how his wrestling's improved him tremendously, and when he puts it together he looks brilliant in all areas. So if he can make those kind of improvements in that short time, it's pretty darn scary how he's going to look in January.
Yeah, well, thank you, John, really good hanging with you. I really appreciate
thanks it. Thanks for having me on.
And of course, thanks to Rob Font and just the great Jose Aldo, and we'll talk to you again soon, John. I really appreciate your time today, and it was so good hanging with you.
Yeah, well, if I don't speak to you before, have a great Christmas and always enjoy the fights.
You too, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All the best.